you know, we keep getting very strong evidence that the tribulation is upon us. And there is nothing stronger, really, than one revelation that is happening under our noses, and that is what's happening over in the Middle East at this time. You know, it's just totally astounding that nation after nation is being infuriated and raised up against their governments and overthrowing their governments over there, or in the process of doing it. And that this is a fulfillment of prophecy that really has to happen at this time. As a matter of fact, I have taught on this before, that this would happen in Jeremiah 25. And I'd like to share with you just a few things here that would point out to you that, yes, indeed, we are at the beginning of the tribulation period. It's upon us. And these things that are happening right now have to happen before it can start. In Jeremiah 25, it speaks of Babylon, whom we know to be the great eagle in Ezekiel 17. It's also the eagle that was conquered by the bear, all symbolizing the United States. And as we can read here in Jeremiah 25, I'm going to start in verse 8. It says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not hearkened or heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and I will send unto Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant." Notice that he was saying that Nebuchadnezzar would serve God's purpose, okay? And, of course, that is happening right now. You know, we know that God is raising up a beast in order to bring the people of God to their cross. It's a worldwide beast, and America at the head of the nations is both corporate worldwide Babylon, and America itself is the best type of Babylon in all the scriptures. And he says, "I will send unto Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about. And I will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and a perpetual desolations." Well, how in the world is America going to do that, you know? I wrote in Hidden Manna that they may not do this directly, but would stir up in the Middle East one group against the other group. And, folks, that's what's happening. And you say, "Well, David, what do they got to do with this? They're over there trying to, you know, help out the poor people." Well, I'll tell you, and I'll show you in just a minute. I mean, it's very clear what's going on over there. But anyway, the ultimate end of this is the desolation of those nations that are mentioned here, which are the same ones that are being stirred up right now. It says, it goes on to say, "Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years." Now look very carefully at that verse 11 there. And this whole land, and he's going to tell you what land it is in this chapter, "this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Now, I shared with you what the Lord showed me, is that in the New Testament, that's going to be 7 years. quite often God abbreviates things to make types and shadows. It was Babylon that ruled for 7 years in the book of Revelation. And here's Babylon ruling for 70 years. So it's not a stretch, you see. But notice, they're going to serve Babylon for 70 years, for the whole 7 years, which means this thing started just before the tribulation, right? Because if they're going to serve them during the 70 years, then it has to start before, just before the tribulation. So let me read on. It says, and it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon. So one thing that's very important to us who live here in America is that when this mess is over, at the end of the 7 years, when there's been such destruction brought upon these nations and they become mad, I wouldn't guess who, it doesn't exactly say who they're mad at, but it's telling you in the verses we just read that it's Babylon who's going to come against these nations and bring them to destruction. Now, it also says that it's the Lord doing it. So, he said, I will send unto Nebuchadnezzar. So it's the Lord bringing these nations to destruction. And he is using Babylon, not as a vessel of honor, but as a vessel of dishonor, to serve him, to bring these nations to destruction. And we're told that at the end of the years, 7 years, 70 years or 7 years, that it'll be Babylon's turn. So it's very important that we know that this is what's happening. We can see the timing of it, because then we know that's when the nations are going to attack America. And it is absolutely a fact. We have also tied it down from the other direction, because the sun and the moon are darkened. And that's at the end of the 7 years, we know, because the Bible says so. And that's also when Babylon falls. So we can see that a confirmation with what we're reading right now. It shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, says the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it desolate forever. And I will bring upon that land all my words, which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which the Lord has prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall make bondmen of them, even of them. And I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the work of their hands. Now, when you read about Babylon and God's anger towards them for taking nations that are not theirs and so on and so forth, even though he used them to do that, it doesn't make them guiltless, because he accused them in quite a few other places of taking land that is not theirs and being heavy-handed and so on and so forth, and that they were going to reap what they were sowing. Okay, so I'm just taking God's side on this. I'm just going to agree with God that, yep, America's wrong for doing what it's doing. It's not minding its business. It's getting into everybody else's business for their own greedy, filthy lucre purposes. Okay, and you know, I pray for America. I pray for the people of this land. I love the people of this land. I want to see them all saved. I would love to see the government turn around, but I know from the scriptures that's not going to happen. So, but I do know that our kingdom is not of this world. Our allegiance is only towards the nation that we live in, to the extent that God says, obey them that have the rule over you. He's subject to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. So that's as far as it goes. If they want us to disobey God, we, of course, have to obey God. Shall we obey God rather than men? So we do have to obey God. And so it goes on, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto me, take this cup of the wine of wrath in my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink, and reel to and fro, and be mad. sword that I will send among them. And, of course, the sword is in the hand of Babylon, as we saw back in verse 9. Okay. And then took I the cup at the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink, even whom the Lord has sent me, to wit, Jerusalem. And they are drinking the cup right now. There is wrath among them, as I will share with you in just a few minutes. They are shooting at each other and everything else over there right now. And it says, to wit, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah and the kings thereof, princes thereof, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, a hissing, and a curse, as it is this day. And Pharaoh, king of Egypt, as we can see, they have already drunk the wrath there. They've had a regime change. Their country is not yet desolate, but it's headed in that direction, and by the time the end of tribulation comes around, it will be. So, and it goes on, and his servants, and his princes, and all his people. A desolation, right? And all the mingled people, and all the kings of the land of Uz, which is in Jordan, and all the kings of the land of the Philistines, which is, of course, the Palestinians, and Ashkelon, and Gaza, and Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, and that's the Palestinians. And then he goes on to speak of Edom and Moab and the children of Ammon, which is Jordan, and all the kings of Tyre and the kings of Sidon, which is Lebanon, and the kings of the Isle, which is beyond the sea, and Dedan and Tema, which is Jordan, and Buz, which is Jordan, and all that have the corners of their hair cut off, and all the kings of Arabia, Saudi Arabia, obviously, and all the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the wilderness, and all the kings of Zimri, which is Syria, and all the kings of Elam, which is Iran, and all the king of the Medes, which is the Kurds, and all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world. So ultimately, we're talking about the first real world war. All the kingdoms of the world. They're all going to get involved in this one way or another. It's going to bring destruction to them one way or another. Even if it's nothing more than the nuclear radiation raining on them from, the fallout raining on them from what's going to happen in these nations and other things. And the weather and everything else that's destroyed when you have this kind of a war. So we're looking at a war that's going to last and last and last until America's destroyed. Kingdoms of the world, which are on the face of the earth, that's pretty much bringing destruction to the whole earth. Isn't that amazing? And the king of Shishak, now look, stop and think about it. There has to be the greater fulfillment of this was nothing that Babylon did way back when, even though they did conquer these nations. They didn't touch everything on the face of the earth. All right, so the greater fulfillment of this is in our day. Okay, all the kingdoms of the world, which are upon the face of the earth, and the kingdom of Shishak shall, and that's an older, more ancient name for Babylon, shall drink after them. So after these kingdoms, I believe the remnant of these kingdoms will join together with the Chinese and the Russians and fight against America and bring it down. And after sharing with you how these nations are being brought down, I'd like to come back to this and look at who these people are that's going to be bringing America down. You know, let me point out some things, how that we've got agreement with this. I took a few minutes to dig up a few things to point out the truth of what we're seeing here. For instance, I got this. Somebody sent me this word from Yerushalayim, from Jerusalem. And this is it's from Simantav Alaluf. And they're obviously fulfilled Jews, Messianic Jews. And it says, there is definitely a need for prayer as we see the division amongst Jews living in Judea and Samaria growing wider between them and the government. Last Monday, as Israeli police and military converged on Gilead Farms to destroy the homes built there without permits, something new in Israel's history began. Police were shooting the residents with plastic bullets to demonstrate they would not be stopped. This unprecedented behavior the Netanyahu government is now employing clearly demonstrates their intent to establish a Palestinian state. Even by now, shooting Israeli Jews with rifles. Please join us in prayer over this drastic change in policy as it threatens Israel's stability, as a house divided against itself cannot stand. And also, Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister, is now making a very public declarations of a desire to establish a Palestinian state as soon as possible, with ongoing negotiations for the borders and division of Jerusalem. His actions very much put Israel in line for the Lord's judgment, as well as the judgment of the nations for pressuring Israel to do so. And this is certainly happening, folks. Europe and America especially have put a lot of pressure. The Netanyahu government has reached out to America for funds in order to better defend themselves against what they see rising up all around them in the fury of the Muslim nations. And they're basically withholding from them if they don't go ahead with this. They put them in a really bad position if they don't go ahead with this Palestinian state. And as you know, I mean, they're speaking something here that's very true, and that is that the judgment of the nations for dividing Israel is going to be their division. And we can prove that, and we will see that. And we've had revelations here in the United States, many people have had it, that this country would be divided if they divided Israel. Well, now they're doing it. And some have gotten the revelation that this earthquake that splits the country is a part of that dividing of the country, but also it's a very good possibility that it's talking about civil war is going to come from this. So I for one, believe it. And I also believe that Israel is a type. You watch Israel as a signpost, as a prophecy of what's going on with the church, because Israel is a type of the church in that we are the true Israel who are circumcised in heart and not flesh. And so I believe exactly what they're saying here, that this is going to bring judgment and division upon the nations that are pressuring, especially the king of Babylon, especially America. And they go on to say, in the midst of the turmoil in our neighboring nations, Egypt, Libya, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, etc., there is much activity on the ground to divide Israel into another Islamic terror state, at the same time dividing the Jewish people through state violence against Jews. Yes, all these things are really stirring up in these nations, the overthrow of the leaderships, and on and on. There's no question, as we go deeper in the end of days, the violence of evil will continue to grow. And we, as the people of the Lord, washed in the blood of Yeshua, must stand as one in love and prayer, pushing back the forces of evil with his righteousness. Well, okay, amen. And now we see that Israel is being stirred up. Their own people are fighting with their own people because they want to divide the land in order to have peace with their enemies around them and in order to have peace and support from their allies. So who is doing that? Well, obviously America is putting pressure upon them to do something that's going to be detrimental to them and bring destruction upon them. Just as the verses we just got to read, the first one mentioned there was Israel. Okay. So let me make another point here. I'll just share a couple of revelations that we have on our site concerning this division. There was Dr. Samuel Doctorian, who had a vision on the Isle of Patmos of five angels of the continents coming to him and sharing what the bowls of wrath they were going to pour out on the different continents. And I'm not going to read all this. I'm just going to read a part. I'm going to read the second angels in particular. It says, "Then I saw that the second angel had a sickle in his hand, such as is used in harvesting. Second angel said, 'Harvest time has come in Israel and the countries all the way to Iran.'" Did you notice that that list that we just looked at, it went from Israel to Iran? And that after Iran came Babylon itself. And so I think this is accurate. It says, "I saw those countries in a few split seconds, all of Turkey and those," and then there's a part of the tape that's missing here, so we don't know what it says, probably those nations or those other countries or something like that, "that have refused me and refused my message of love shall hate each other and kill one another. I saw the angel raise the sickle and come down on all the Middle East countries." Now you're seeing the purpose here behind what's going on. Many people only see what's going on and they lay all this at the foot of men. But behind the men is the Lord God sending his angel to use the sickle, which is no doubt wicked men, to bring death and destruction here to these countries because they have rejected the goodness of God. Okay? I saw Iran, Persia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, all of Georgia, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Israel, all of Asia Minor, full of blood, all Muslim countries, or overwhelmingly Muslim countries, full of blood. I want to say something to you. I believe God is a good and a merciful God. And I believe that because of this, there is going to be a great revival. And I've even got revelations of that that I have seen. Some of them are on our site. This is going to bring a great revival among these people. And multitudes are going to be saved and rushed into the kingdom. People who were Muslim and have come to Jesus Christ. And that's happening right now. I know we've seen many revelations and testimonies of Muslims. And that excites me, folks. I just tell you, I just love that. That have heard from the Lord himself. He's appeared to them in dreams and visions and revealed himself to them. And they've come to the Lord just sovereignly by God. Praise the Lord. That's just awesome to me. And I want to see a lot more of it. We need to be praying for this. I mean, this misery that's coming over the whole world, it's got to have a purpose here. Let's pray. Let's pray and ask God to have mercy and bring many souls into the kingdom. God will use our prayers to do this. He'll use our faith to do this. Let's make something useful out of this. It's going to happen anyway. It's written, and it will come to pass. Let's see God do something awesome out of this. And he goes on to say, "I saw blood all over these countries, and I saw fire, nuclear weapons used in many of those countries." Well, folks, I guess who's got nuclear weapons over there and who's got them over here? You know, just think about who the people are that have nuclear weapons that are doing this. I'm wondering if there isn't at this particular time some strike on the United States that has caused America to go over there and strike her enemies too. Yeah. Smoke rising from everywhere, sudden destruction, men destroying one another. And I heard these words. Now, first of all, I want to tell you something. God can't stir up a group of men and them be guiltless. He's just using the murder that's in their hearts. That's all. A man chooses his ways, but the Lord directs his steps, the Bible says. These are a bunch of murderous people. That's why the Lord is able to use them to do this, to bring destruction upon them. Many of them have come to this revelation, too. They've come to the revelation that there's no love in that religion, and there's no life from it or in it, and they have turned to God because of that. And I give praise to God for that. I thank God. I hope everybody out there realizes there's no one in this world is good and right and righteous. And the only one that can make us that way is Jesus Christ. I heard these words, Israel, O Israel, the great judgment has come. The angel said, the chosen, the church, the remnant shall be purified. Well, amen. There is another very good purpose in all this, right? The Spirit of God shall prepare the children of God. Amen. And I saw fires rising to heaven. The angel said, this is the final judgment. My church shall be purified, protected, and ready for the final day. That's a good word, isn't it? Purified, protected, and ready for the final day. Men will die from thirst. Water shall be scarce all over the Middle East. Well, we know that's true. Rivers shall dry up. Men will fight for water in those countries, and I believe that's exactly correct. The angel showed me that the United Nations shall be broken in pieces because of the crisis in the Middle East. That's true, too, because we know the dragon is going to supersede the UN, and behind that, the beast, the last 3.5 years. And so I'm going to jump on down and just pick a piece out of this fourth angel, because he talks about Africa. Now we know that Libya and Egypt in northern Africa has also exploded into violence, right? Civil war and violence, so on. And he said, now we go to Africa, and I saw the fourth angel with wings fly over Africa, and I could see from Cape Town in the south all the way to the north of Cairo. And I saw all the countries there, more than 50 of them. The angel of Africa had a sword in his hand, tremendous, sharp sword. And suddenly I heard him say, innocent blood has been shed, divisions among the people, generations far from the Lord. They have killed one another, thousands of people. And you know, the people that are stirring this up have the greatest guilt of all. You want to know why God is angry with Babylon? They don't care how many people they kill to get their greedy ends. And I'm not saying they're any worse than the rest of this world either, because this world, any man that don't know Jesus Christ, he has the capability of the beast, right? And he goes on to say, I've seen my faithful children in Africa, and I shall reward all the faithful in the continent of Africa. I shall bless them abundantly. I shall control the weather, scorching and burning of the sun in some parts. Great rivers shall dry up. Millions will die from starvation in other parts. Flooding, foundations shall be shaken. My sword shall judge the unrighteous and the bloodthirsty. So many earthquakes shall happen that rivers will be coming to the great earthquakes. Now we're entering into the time when these are going to become more and more frequent. It shall happen that the rivers shall flow different directions in the continent, flooding many places. I saw things falling from the sky over different parts of Africa, and there shall be trembling of the earth like has not been seen since the creation. None shall escape the sword of the Lord. I saw the Nile River dry up, so on and so forth. Let's see. Okay. And one thing he said, I'm just going to mention one thing about North and South America. He said that he heard the world market collapsing with mighty earthquakes. The world market collapsing with mighty earthquakes. I suspect a mighty earthquake. you know, in the midst of our country, which is going to bring down this economy. And of course, the world economy. So we see pretty much confirmation here of what we're seeing begin to happen right now. Who would have ever thought that they would see all these nations so full of turmoil, so full of destruction, rising up against one another? Okay, here's another short, I believe, confirmation of this. Brother Jerry Golden, who is a Messianic Jew, he said this revelation came to him. He said, "At first I thought what I was looking at was a hurricane. Yet when I looked closer, it was a gigantic storm covering the oceans. Europe and the North and South American continents. In fact, it may have covered the entire globe. It was that large." I believe so. I mean, what we just got through reading seems to speak of every nation on the face of the earth. You really can't have much of a nuclear war without, I don't know if you've ever seen this or not, it's pretty amazing. I don't know what you would call it, a depiction of the earth as it turns. How that if, for instance, you had one place where there was a nuclear blast or a volcano spewing, as the earth turns, that smoke or that fallout or whatever covers most of the globe. Okay, I thought it was pretty amazing. I think what I saw was a narrative of how Krakatoa could have darkened the earth when it blew centuries back. And matter of fact, in the rings of the trees, they know that this actually did happen and that there was a solid winter year-round for a while. That could very well happen here in the United States. I believe we are going to see cold temperatures like nobody's ever seen in our lifetime. And God is going to protect and bless his elect, but many people are going to die from that. And, you know, it could happen for several reasons. A super volcano like Yellowstone could blow up, and, of course, we would be in a winter all summer long. A nuclear war could do the same thing. But at any rate, this destruction that he was seeing was covering the entire globe. There were these very distinct circles within it, each one larger than the first. Between each circle, there were many fires, and each fire represented a country. Their names I knew very well. Egypt, Libya, Tunisia, Bahrain, Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria. There were others also. Then there was a sound and the presence of laughter, evil laughter, coming from within this confusion, which had taken on a cyclonic form, was an image of some sort, and I was unable to make it out, but the feeling of great evil overwhelmed me. In other words, there's some group of people behind this that, of course, are very glad for our enemies to destroy our enemies, or even our friends to be destroyed and to destroy our enemies rather than do it firsthand. I hate to say this, but the West has become very adept at getting in the middle of two peoples and shooting both ways and then ducking out of sight. And they've been very good at that. They've learned how to do it. They can set the Shiites against the Sunnis, and they've done it, and they're doing it now. It was then that I noticed that in the center of these circles, the eye of this storm was Saudi Arabia. Then, as if on command, each of the dozens of fires moved very quickly towards the center, overwhelming Saudi Arabia. Wonder why? Well, the motivation, of course, from Islam is to take out the oil that is coming to to destroy the economy, et cetera, and to, of course, bring Saudi Arabia and its wealth into their fold and be used for their purposes. And of course, they will conquer that country. Then there was a great darkness which spread from Saudi Arabia all over the world. In other words, after that, what can you imagine would happen if they stopped the oil flowing out of the Middle East? Well, you can expect the economy to fall. You can expect famine. You can expect all kinds of services to fail. And you can expect men to fight to stop this from happening. And within this darkness, there was great suffering as hunger and misery gripped the hearts of men everywhere. Men had no compassion or mercy. They seemed not to be human, yet somehow had the appearance of being human. Their eyes were glazed over, and their hearts were hardened. They only knew how to kill and behead all those they could find in their path. I continued to hear this insane laughter and couldn't see the face of the source, but I somehow could see the evil smile of the person laughing. Church buildings were either turned into mosques or burned to the ground. There was great suffering. I got to tell you something, folks. There is going to be a lot of churches burned down. There's a persecution coming. There is and it's, by the way, it's going to come to this country. It's not just going to be over there anymore. You know, it's coming to this country. Great suffering, a destruction of the economy, sabotage. They are raising up militant Muslim groups all over this nation to sabotage this nation, and this government is doing nothing whatsoever about it. And I got to tell you that behind this wicked government is a faithful God who is going to bring justice to this earth and chastening to this earth for the great sins that are going on here. And at the same time, perfect a people for his own glory, a people who will show forth the love and the faith of Jesus in the midst of all this and be a great witness. Hallelujah. God is a faithful God. So you saw that one of the targets of this is encircling this encirclement of Israel and the encirclement of Saudi Arabia is Saudi Arabia too. And because they just think they can bring down the great Satan here. I want to tell you, we got a lot more oil than they got. That's the facts. They aren't pumping it out of the ground. Their plan is not to pump it out of the ground until the oil reaches a really high price so that when they can get more filthy rich, you know, nothing but greed. They aren't caring about America or anybody else, you know, but they're not pumping it out of the ground, and they're going to wait until this thing in the Middle East brings the price of it way up, and they're going to bring down America. And they're going to attempt to sell some of that oil, but I got news for you. I think it's going to explode in their face. So we'll see. But I'll share this with you. The Saudi Day of Rage. The first one was a little bit of a flop, and they're going to bring in another one on Friday. So we see already that this is being fulfilled, the revelations that we just read are being fulfilled. It spread from the nations around her into Saudi Arabia. Can I read this to you? Because it's very interesting. As Libyan protests morphed into bloody civil war, Saudi protesters tried to grab limelight of Middle East by bringing forward its Day of Rage demonstrations by 4 days to Monday, March 7th. And, however, the organizers failed to get the number out on the streets. Ebkafile sources report exclusively that they had planned to start the demonstrations against the Saudi throne in Taif, Medina, Jeddah in the west, and the towns of Asser and Najran in the south, which are traditional anti-monarchical centers and locales of the Ismaili communities close to the Shia brand of Islam and capital of Riyadh. This was to have built up to a powerful climax in Riyadh and across the kingdom Friday, according to the scenario most feared by the Saudi throne, a mainstream Shiite protest merger. This week, the Saudi Interior Ministry banned all demonstrations, backed Sunday by the Council of Senior Clerics, which declared demonstrations violated Islamic law, and signing reform petitions violates what God ordered. They didn't say what God ordered, but anyway. In rescheduling the protests, the organizers had two main goals: to start a slow-burning fire on the western and southern fringes of the desert kingdom, ready in 4 days to burst into flames in Riyadh and rouse the masses, exciting the mosques after Friday prayer into forming anti-government street processions. They're all intent on overthrowing their governments, aren't they? To make becoming Riyadh demonstrations strong enough to pull in the rest of the kingdom, including the Shiites of the oil-producing eastern provinces, thereby realizing the royal house's most feared bugbear, collaboration between the mainstream opposition and the Shiites. And last Tuesday, March the 1st, the BBC Arabic broadcast reported that the unrest in Saudi Arabia was growing. Epicophile sources in the Gulf say that immediately following the broadcast, Saudi security and intelligence forces raised their alert to the highest level. The reason? The Saudis perceive the broadcast is a coded call to Shiites and other opposition elements to launch riots for deposing 88-year-old King Abdullah. Panic selling up to 6.8% of stocks resulted in the Saudi exchange. One major trader explained that the unrest in the Arab world had led investors to shift from stocks to cash. Yep. I don't think it won't happen here, folks. After the BBC broadcast, the authorities took the precaution of partially shutting down the relevant websites to cut down participation in the demonstrations. Saudi Arabia has 2,300,000 registered Facebook users, Bahrain about 220,000, and Oman 160,000. These are impressive numbers which encompass large youthful populations, especially in Saudi Arabia, amongst whom unemployment runs at 30 to 40%. Wow, that should idle hands, the devil's workshop, as they say, and I guess it works out pretty true. Still, it's hard to treat these figures as a barometer for forecasting the degree of willingness to rise up and challenge the government in Riyadh. Saudi Arabia, especially family, clan, tribal ties are strong and may be capable of restraining youngsters exposed to Facebook from responding actively to calls to go out on the streets, although their demands and grievances are already serving the politicians with fodder. Yes. Saudi Arabia has three categories of politicians: liberal elements, Muslim clerics, any ideological opposition to the religious establishment and government, and the Shiite minority. Their common cause is a demand for an end to the royal family's monopoly over policymaking. In other words, a limited process toward a constitutional monarchy and a share in power for ordinary citizens. But, you know, they never have been able to work and live under democracy. There's always somebody, some group among them that's going to take unfair advantage of them and not go by what the majority decides. It just happens every time. They're just not able to do it. And so this really was a sabotage of these nations. They had some form of peace. You know, their religion is very legalistic and very much enforced for disobedience. And they're used to living under law, a very stringent, hard law. And if you take them out, it's kind of like taking the kid out from under its parent, and they're just able to go and do whatever they want, you know. They can go nuts. And because they're coming out from under something so stringent and hard, they feel that freedom and they use it to do whatever they want. There's no self-restraint. And so this was a real sabotage. The disturbances in Bahrain began igniting the 2 million Saudi Shiites of the oil-rich eastern provinces last month. On February 17th, Shiites staged their first protest demonstration in the Atif region, calling for the masses of Shiites held without trial since 2009. A number were released 3 days later. February 24th saw the second Shiite demonstration in Awamiya, a small town near Qatif, and on February 28th, the third was held in solidarity with the Shiites of Bahrain in the main cities of Qatif area, including the main city of Hasha. So how in the world is Babylon, the great eagle, the only superpower of their day, the head of the nations, which is pretty well fits what America today, how could they be guilty of all this that's happening over there in the Middle East? Well, it's been pretty clear, many articles have come out about it, what actually went on before all this happened. I'll just share a short one here with you of proof that the Egypt Revolution was actually a CIA operation. And Tony Cartolucci, February the 20th, said this. He said, first noted by geopolitical analyst and historian Dr. Webster Tarpley, some suspicious similarities could be seen between the Egyptian unrest and another known U.S.-backed uprising in Serbia. Serbia's Otpor, or the resistance, was funded to the tune of millions by the U.S. National Endowment for Democracy. Its signature clenched fist logo adorned flags, signboards, and T-shirts carried by the U.S. State Department laid astroturf until the ousting of Slobodan Milosevic in 2000. Yes, they did that. The exact same logo would turn up 11 years later across the Mediterranean Sea in the streets of Cairo, illustrating further the preposterous foreign-backed nature of the Egyptian uprising. Could it just be a coincidence that Dr. Tarpley's take mere speculative conjecture? Not even close. After its success, Serbia's Otpor would continue receiving funds from the West and become a CIA coup college of sorts under the name CANVAS, or Center for Applied Nonviolent Action and Strategies, unquote. It appears that after the Egyptian April 6th youth movement finished attending the U.S. State Department-funded confab in New York City in 2008, it would make a trip to visit CANVAS in 2009. From there, it took CANVAS's curriculum and apparently their logo and began assembling a U.S.-funded mob in Egypt. Against CANVAS's current partners are the Albert Einstein Institution, Freedom House, and the International Republican Institute, IRI. The IRI includes amongst its board of directors John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Brent Scowcroft. When John McCain says, quote, we should have seen this coming, unquote, in regards to the unrest in Egypt, he obviously isn't talking about himself since he helped make it happen. See with your own eyes the absolute shameless hoax foisted upon you, the general public, by your corporate-owned mainstream media, the U.S. State Department, and all the disingenuous leaders who have feigned ignorance and surprise over the premeditated and meticulously planned unrest still unfolding throughout the Middle East today. and never believe a word they say again. So then there's a lot of pictures here of Otpor, Serbia's Otpor, and the new Otnop, which is the modern equivalent of it, or successor of it, and the fist, the clenched fist, all these pictures, you know, of the same thing happening here and now. And let me go to the bottom of this. It says, a final note to consider is that Canvas is on record in Foreign Policy Magazine's article, Revelation U, assisting the Rose Revelation of Georgia, the Orange Revolution of Georgia, the Orange Revolution of the Ukraine, and is currently working with networks from Belarus, Myanmar, Burma, and 50 other countries. Taking a look at their activities and the overall globalist agenda, it's clear they are involved in regime change that will directly assist the globalists in their encirclement of Russia and China. Wow, that's interesting. So why, you know, America is stirring up the pot, the whole world pot. I mean, Mr. Obama, the president or the king of Babylon, promised change, and he meant what he said. Of course, not just him. He's being used by other people. But, John McCain went on to say to the unrest his IRA had helped fund in Egypt, I would be a little less cocky in the Kremlin with my KGB cronies today if I were Vladimir Putin. I would be a little less secure in the seaside resort of President Hu and a few men who govern and decide the fate of 1.3 billion people. McCain's careless comments, begotten of either senility or utter contempt he holds the general public in, let slip the true nature of the game being played out via U.S.-fueled color revolutions unfolding around the world. Indeed, this is about exacting concessions and forcing the integration of sovereign nations into the Anglo-American unipolar world empire. Well, okay, they're conquering the world through letting them fight it out between each other, you know, something that they did in Iraq. And, you know, let's let them fight it out over there, and we don't care who dies as long as it's not us, right? So they're doing it. And, yes, we know from the Bible that's exactly who's doing it. The harlot of Revelation is twofold. It's not only the religious, fallen religious institutions that are under the beast, but also the great harlot being America that is also riding on the back of the beast, the UN beast. I recognize that what we're talking about over there is both a religious and a secular harlot. Of Babylon, you know, we're seeing that Babylon rode the UN beast until she was thrown down and burned. And we see the same thing here in Jeremiah 25. There's no doubt that this is America. Nobody else can fit that description. It was the only world empire of her day that ruled over the nations and was called the Great Eagle. By God himself. So this is just the beginning. It's going to go all the way to Iran. They're just practicing up on these, and they will, as we saw in Jeremiah 25, they're going to bring it to Iran. In fact, we're seeing the stages of it right now to try to bring a coup in Iran. Let me point something out to you. Iran was the last on the list to fall before Babylon. We have on our site a revelation about the Americans going over into the Middle East, parking their army across the strait from Iran, and Iran firing a nuclear missile over their heads and taking out the whole army. Guess when that particular battle happens according to the scriptures? Well, you know, Jeremiah 50 and 51 is the fall of Babylon. Why did it fall? Well, because in Jeremiah 49, they had this struggle with Iran. Yes, they did ruin Iran, as they would if Iran fired a nuclear missile over their military, and they would definitely retaliate by ruining Iran. Well, that is clear from Jeremiah 49 that they ruin Iran, but they don't tell you about the other part there, that they took out their army there. So then, the very next thing, Jeremiah 50 and 51, Babylon is falling at the hands of the nations. Why is that? Well, their army just got taken out. It was a, get this, it was an ambush. Now, you know, keep that in mind. I'm going to read this about Iran, and then we're going to go back to scriptures and look at this ambush thing. Here's another article. Egypt revolution staged for U.S. coup on Iran. It's becoming more evident that the revolution in Egypt was a linchpin for another U.S. coup against Iran. Once again, we see the U.S. meddling in the affairs of governments. In a released WikiLeaks cable reveals the State Department is backing revolutions in Egypt. The WikiLeaks cable also reveals how the State Department helped an Egyptian pro-democracy activist attend a youth movement's summit in New York, and how the unnamed activist presented an unwritten plan for democratic transition in 2011. WikiLeaks cables also indicated that the U.S. applied pressure to have free dissidents associated with the pro-democracy group to be released from prison. Egyptian revolution is a joke. Mubarak will just be replaced by the CIA's torture chief, Omar Suleiman. No change there. This so-called revolution was only the first stage. The second stage is orchestrating another coup in Iran, including the rest of the Islamic world. For decades, the CIA has been propping up fake color revolutions and terrorism to replace governments with their own unelected puppets. In 2009, during the Green Revolution in Iran, the CIA was caught backing the Mujahideen Khalik organization. Terrorists who were trained in Iraq to create post-election mayhem in Iran. The captured terrorists admitted that they were given direct orders by the MKO command post in Britain. In 2008, former Pakistan General Mirza Aslam Beg reported that the U.S. was providing training facilities to the Jundullah terrorist organization in east areas of Iran to create unrest and to affect the ties between Iran and Pakistan. With all the hype of the new Egyptian revolution, the propaganda against Iran is increasing. The world is changing. You have a young, vibrant generation within the Middle East that is looking for greater opportunity. My hope and expectation is that we are going to continue to see the people of Iran have the courage to be able to express their yearning for greater freedom and more repressive, more representative government, Obama said. The U.S. leaders and the media have positioned themselves as being on the side of the Egyptian protesters. We need to ask ourselves, why is the U.S. government supporting a revolution against their own puppet dictator, Mubarak, the same guy who received billions of U.S. taxpayers' dollars? The answer is simple. To create a new color revolution without replacing the Egyptian dictatorship to stimulate Anglo-American New World Order in the Middle East. Here's more proof the U.S. meddling in Iran, trying to start up another green revolution in Iran. U.S. sends Twitter messages to Iranians. Here's one. On the Twitter account, USA Dar Farsi, the State Department said, it, quote, recognizes historic role of social media among Iranians. We want to join in your conversations. In another tweet, the State Department said, Quote, Iran has shown that the activities it praised Egyptians for, it sees as illegal, illegitimate for its own people, unquote. And in a third tweet, it said, U.S. calls on Iran to allow people to enjoy same universal rights to peaceably assemble and demonstrate as in Cairo. Folks, just remember all this when they begin to put down the demonstrations in this country. They're going to be no different. But you see, they're criticizing Iran to their people in order to raise up this thing. But I guarantee you, when it's turned around, there won't be any difference whatsoever. Since 1941, U.S. and Britain have been trying to exploit Iran, but have always failed to prop up a U.S.-backed dictator in the country. In 1941, U.S. and Britain installed the Shah of Iran, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi. It didn't take long for the Iranian people to realize that the Shah was nothing more than a puppet of the United States and British Empire, and started a revolution. People protested and rioted, but the Shah ordered martial law and arrested political leaders and clerics who opposed his regime. In 1951, Mossadegh led the people of Iran for a few years, but the CIA and British intelligence M16 decided to launch Operation Ajax, which was a plan to create terrorist attacks to blame it on Mossadegh. Operation Ajax was later revealed in the late 1990s when the CIA declassified large sections of Operation Ajax to the American public. So they know for a fact they did it then, and of course they're doing it now. Let's see, I don't know if I'm going any further here. Probably not going further with that. The point is that this is very clearly in agreement with Jeremiah 25. Can you imagine that sooner or later they're going to find out about this, if they don't already? I imagine that they don't. Many people don't know about this already, but we do know that they find out about it, because in Jeremiah 25, he gives credit to Babylon to bringing down and destroying and bringing destruction in the whole Middle East, stirring the pot so that they destroy each other. And it says, and they shall drink and reel to and fro, and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them, and be mad. So, we know that these people are going to be stirred up to do something against the United States, right? No doubt about it. Well, we're told, as I pointed out to you in Jeremiah 49, and also Ezekiel, we see that Iran is taking out just before, or Elam as they call it, is taken out. Ezekiel 32, and I believe it's 24, and also Jeremiah 49 and 34. The Persians, the Iranians are taken out just before the nations all rise up against America, and I believe it's because they have just knocked out one of their armies in the Middle East, made them so extremely weak that they could not fight. And besides that, what does the Bible say about, for instance, an ambush? This is how America is going to fall, according to Jeremiah 51. I'll read it to you. Verse 11 on down, it says, make sharp the arrows, hold firm the shields. The Lord has stirred up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, because his purpose is against Babylon to destroy it. Now, have you noticed that just what men are doing, God is paying them back for? You know, he used Babylon to stir up the whole Middle East to bring a destruction there and, of course, a revival. And then at the end, he used them to come back and destroy Babylon, or America, the great eagle. The Lord has stirred up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, because his purpose is against Babylon to destroy it, for it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. Why is it the vengeance of his temple? Because America is going to persecute and kill the Christians. We are, in the New Testament, the temple of God. There is no other temple. set up a standard against the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong, set the watchmen, prepare the ambushes. For the Lord hath both purposed and done that which he spake concerning the inhabitants of Babylon. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, the measure of thy covetousness. Amen. Well, it says, prepare the ambushes. You know, when you look up ambushes in the scriptures, you find this described in a couple of places as drawing an enemy out of their city to chase after another army, and then slipping into the city and burning it so that that enemy that's been drawn out looks behind them and finds the city burning, and the army in front of them now turning upon them because they now have no support from their city, and destroying them in the middle. And, folks, this is the exact M.O. that they're going to use on America, to destroy her. She's come out once again to throw her weight around in the Middle East, lost an army, got destroyed, and at the same time the Russians and the Chinese are attacking the city. And now they turn on the rest of their armies in the Middle East and slaughter them. You know, this is what's going to happen. And, you know, the word ambushes here is the word Arab. You can look it up. Arab. So God's going to use the Arabs to do what they do best. Going to ambush. I mean, isn't that been their tactic for as long as we know? You know, yes, of course. And God's going to use the Arab peoples greatly to bring punishment to planet Earth, folks. I'll just point out this, Isaiah 24 and verse 6. It says, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are found guilty. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Now, the word curse here is the word Allah. Allah, the curse. Curse hath devoured the earth. Few men left. Very interesting, huh? So the Lord's going to use them greatly to bring destruction to this earth. And here's another one in Genesis 6:11. Vincent Xavier pointed this out to me. He said in chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, and the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And the word violence is Hamas. It's actually spelled with a silent C in front of it. It's Hamas. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence throughout, and behold, so on and so forth. So you see, as the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. And the violence that happened in Noah's day and the violence in our day has also something to do with Hamas, who is stronger and stronger in revealing their power in the Middle East, and along with the Muslim Brotherhood are helping to stir the pot over there. Can you imagine? Stop and think about this now. We know that Al-Qaeda is over there stirring the pot. We know that Hamas is over there stirring the pot. We know that different Muslim groups like the Muslim Brotherhood is stirring the pot. So why would America be in there with their people that have been their enemy to do the same thing? Because, folks, the liberal left and even the liberal right, you know, like McCain and people like that, they think they're doing a service causing these people to destroy one another. And they think this is the way to do this. But especially the socialist left wing, who is now using the weapons that they found in the White House for their own purposes. I'm speaking, of course, about a dream that we had on our site about that. But when the Reds came into the White House, that they found the weapons that they used underneath it, and they began to use them. And this is one of the weapons that not only the Bush administration used, yes, but the Obama administration is using too. And there are turning the people of the Middle East against one another, and there won't be any peace until there is destruction all throughout the Middle East and a world war. Who's going to be guilty for that? And who's going to be mad about that? The destruction of the whole Middle East and bringing destruction upon the whole globe? Who's going to be mad about that? The nations are going to rise up against America at the end of this to destroy her. So, yes, change is coming. Isn't it amazing that wickedness and evil has taken over mankind? And the Lord is using it. Man chooses his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And it's sad, isn't it? It's sad, but it will be our opportunity, folks, to shine for the Lord, to share the gospel with people around the world who have now suddenly needed it more than any time in their whole life. You know, needed a Savior, needed a Deliverer. Can you imagine that after this goes sweeps through the Middle East, that there won't be lots and lots of people crying out to God for an answer? You know what? I believe some of them that do it sincerely, He will answer them. He will answer them. He will reveal Himself to them. And, of course, we will be there to be His helpers, share the good news with all people. We're not for or against any race of people. They're all mankind have their faults. They've been passed down from whoever their parents are. But we know no man after the flesh. We consider them people in the salvation of God can reach down and touch, and they make especially good Christians, especially people who have labored under such hard and cruel religion to some of the people of this world. These people make extremely good Christians. And I just give praise unto God for His wisdom and grant repentance and His elect that He has chosen from the foundation of the world. He is preparing for such a time as this. Some have labored under cruel religion, hatred, you know, retaliation, murder, and labored under these things, and don't you know that they would love to understand the love of God? That's what we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pour out our hearts before God. We need to beseech God and ask Him to draw His elect out of these nations, to make an opportunity for the gospel to reach out to them. We, by the grace of God, we've had revelations for many years that we're going to be able to reach out across this world with the gospel, with the good news. And we believe that we're not only going into the English-speaking nations, but we believe it's going to be translated into other languages and reach other nations. And, man, I tell you, I'm just so happy to see the gospel. I want to do everything I can before I get out of here to destroy the devil's work. I don't know about you. And I'm praying that all of you will join all of us and let's all put our faith towards the Lord and believe that He will do a tremendous miracle through every one of us, you know, and bringing the gospel to the people around us. They don't have any answers, folks. The curse is going to devour the whole earth, and they don't have any answers. They don't have any shelter. They don't have any hope. They don't have any faith. They'll be full of fear and torment, and all for the purpose of causing them to look up to the light of heaven put their trust in the Lord. And if we pray, we believe God, I believe God will do it. He says so in His Word. We know we can believe Him for it. And it's the heart of Jesus. You know, the Great Commission, that's the heart of Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. What did you say to Peter? If you love me, feed my sheep. I tell you, this ought to be more important to us than anything except knowing the Lord ourselves. Because if you don't know the Lord yourself, you can't do any good for anybody else. Even your prayers are an abomination. So, knowing the Lord, seeking first the kingdom of God for yourself, and then for others, it can't be anything more important than that. And fulfilling the Great Commission. I mean, I believe God's people are going to take this seriously, so much so that many are going to give their lives in order to get the gospel out in these days. You know, praise be to God. Just like Brother Cornelius, you know. Praise God. There'll be many, many more like him before it's over. And that'll, of course, enter into the joy of the Lord for their faithfulness in serving the kingdom of God, even at the expense of their old life. You know, our Lord Jesus said, if you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life. I say, bring it on. Let's get this over with. There's too many people dying in their sins. And even this shaking up is going to cause some people to cry out to God before they die. And that is good. That is good. So many people go off into their grave sleeping. They're sound asleep. They don't know that they're falling off a cliff here, you know. But at least when there's visible torment and fear around them, they've got a chance to cry out to God and be saved. I believe God's very, very merciful. I believe more people are going to be saved in these days than there has been in all of history on this planet. That's right. I believe that. In fact, it's been proven that there are more Christians alive today than there ever has been throughout history on this planet. Now, this geometric effect, you know. So now we're going to get to see multitudes swept into the kingdom. It'll still be a small, narrow road, but it will be the greatest number ever swept into the kingdom. And I know some people believe that there isn't going to be a revival. They think that's a false doctrine. No, it's not a false doctrine. It's definitely going to happen. Multitudes are going to be swept in. Multitudes are going to fall away. They make that point, and they make it rightly. There will be a great falling away. But whenever somebody has given up their crown, there's been others step forward and take it. That's just history. God's not going to depart from history. It's always happened that way. It's going to happen this time, too. Multitudes. Whenever Israel fell away from the Lord and lost their place in the kingdom of God, multitudes of Gentiles came and took their place. And in these days, God's going to turn once again to Israel. When the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and that's not yet, there's a lot more Gentiles coming in. But when that's happened, he's going to turn back to the Jews and bring in a multitude of them. So praise be to God. I say, come, Lord Jesus, come do your work.